let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargle and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, ancienthopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the ancienthopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the ancienthopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Danny and Father John. Welcome back, listeners, to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm in the studio with Father John Wargle. Welcome back, Father John. It's so good to see you this afternoon.
It is great to be here with you, Danny.
Usually we are here in the morning, but today we're here in the afternoon, which is kind of fun.
Do you think it'll still work for us?
I don't. Now that's a great question. Yes. So are we too tired or whatever to be able to think? Okay. So we're finally getting to the point where we're getting closer to the end of the incredible, really incredible Joseph story. And I have to say just one more time, hate to do it, but these podcasts about the Joseph story have been so good for me because it has really literally opened up so much about the story itself, but then the my own faith journey and what I'm thinking about in my own, you know, past life, sin life, remembering things, all of that stuff that Joseph has helped me to understand.
Well, it works the same for me. I mean, when I write the post and when we do these podcasts, it forces me to think things always in a new way. Yeah. And so this deep dive is a deep dive for me as well. It's not like I'm sitting here with all the answers and, you know,
yes.
It's not like that at all.
It is kind of funny because it does make me remember when you first came to me with this idea and you said, no, this is going to be really different. It's different than anything else. Any other podcast about Scripture, it's not the same. And so I looked at your post and I thought, okay, well, we'll see. We'll see. But I'm telling you, it is different. And I love the way that we do it, the interactive way that we go back and forth and then sort of just break open some of these things that I had never thought about.
Right. And a lot of it is simply placing yourself in the context.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, true.
And trying to imagine what it was like for them. And that's what we're going to be doing today.
Yes.
Right.
So we begin with Joseph and his brothers. They were coming back in our last podcast. Now they arrive, right? Is that correct?
That's right. Remember, I think the last one was something back in the land, 20 years, going nowhere, right?
Yes, that's it, yeah.
And all of a sudden, they have to do something. It's kind of like things often happen suddenly, okay?
Yes.
Like Joseph was moldering in a prison for a long time, and all of a sudden, suddenly, it happened, okay? The family is just going nowhere, and then suddenly something happens. And
yes.
And that's how life is, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then also the idea that Joseph is kind of the director of the play here. And
that's
he's,
right.
He's started his, that was a couple of podcasts, so he started his first act.
Right.
And has got the brothers set up to understand, to learn a little bit more about who they actually are. I mean, he's trying
right.
to help them to do that.
Right.
And now we're into sort of the final act.
That's right, right. See, the beautiful thing is Joseph has power, but he uses it wisely.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the big deal here, right?
Yeah, if only I could do that.
Right. Yeah, so we have Joseph with a watch out for his brothers. His brothers are coming back. They're bringing Benjamin with them.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't know how this thing's going to work out because if we remember, they have to return the silver.
Right, that's it. They found the silver.
Yeah.
And they know something bad is going to happen to them.
Right, they're scared because they're going to be thieves in the eyes of the Egyptians, and then what, right?
Right, yeah.
So they don't know how their reception's going to be.
Yes, and they have to come back because they ate all of the grain that they had,
right.
So they don't have any choice but to come back to the source.
Right, and Joseph knows that. So what he does is he invites him into his house.
Ah,
okay.
Yes.
Now, again, they don't know what this is about, because it could be that he's going to make them his household slaves, right? Mm-hmm. Instead, he lays out a feast for them.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah. And not only that, but, you know, to the detail he's planned this thing out, because he has them all sitting according to the order of their birth.
Yeah.
Right?
I know there are a couple of things about this. You'd think that they'd be going, hey, wait a minute. How
right.
does he know this stuff?
Yeah. Hey, you're sitting here. I'm saying, you know. Yeah, you know, I mean, they're all got bushy beards.
Right.
Right.
They all probably look about the
they
same
probably,
age.
A lot of them look about the same age. How yeah. are you going to figure this thing out?
Right.
But he's got to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And then he gives Benjamin 5 times more than all the others.
Yeah.
Now, I'm, you know, what this looked practically, who knows? I mean, he's a young guy, probably had a big appetite, but when you really get down to it, you know, he's sitting there with gobs of food around him,
right?
And the others were eating plenty, you know? So this should get them thinking, too. Okay.
You think that it would, but there's nothing in the scriptures that helps us to understand that they were smart enough to sort of look at this and go, again, what is the deal here? You know, why?
Yeah.
Or how does this guy know that Benjamin is special, this special,
right?
You know,
he doesn't know that he's the same mother as he, you know, right?
Yeah.
And that he's the pet. I mean, you know, right?
Yeah.
And so this tests the brothers.
Yeah.
Because is there still favoritism going on around here? How are they going to think about Benjamin being the favorite?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Just like Joseph was the favorite.
Right. Sure. The other interesting thing is, I kept wondering, how is he communicating with these guys? Is he communicating in their language, or is he communicating in another
language? It's assumed that there's an interpreter.
Oh, right. Okay, good. Because the other thing I was thinking was, mm-hmm. while they're in there, because he was separated from them, right, when they
right.
were eating, as Egyptians normally do with people who aren't Egyptian, they're in there chatting away, talking, not knowing that he could understand.
He hears everything that's going on.
Right.
That's important as well.
Yeah, wow.
Because that gives him a way of really testing their hearts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he can hear what their hearts are really saying when he's not in the room.
Right. And so it also is a sort of a deja vu when the brothers were all eating and making merry when he was in the pit. He was separated from them.
Right.
But yeah. now everything's turned around.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's very clever in the story as well, don't
yeah.
you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's all of these very subtle details. Once again, I'm telling you, I just read through this story so many times without catching all of these really cool extra details.
Right, right. So the brothers had just gotten done passionately explaining to the steward, we didn't steal this money. And the steward says, oh, no, don't worry about this. God must be in on this.
Yeah.
And they probably look at the steward and saying, God in on this, right?
Yeah. What are you talking about? Yeah, that's impossible.
Right. So here we go. Okay. Joseph is looking at the boy. The last time he saw him, he was a boy. Right now, he's probably a young man. And all these memories of his mother and the good times he had growing up, you know, all start flooding in there. He excuses himself.
Right.
He just can't
he gets
contain
emotional.
The emotion. Right, right.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. But he knows that if he shows emotion at the wrong time here, things could head south real fast.
Then they're going to actually say, hey, something is going on here. They're going to actually begin to get it.
Yeah, right. And he doesn't want them to get it until the perfect time.
That's right. Too quickly, yeah.
Okay, so, he sends them away. They put silver in a bag, but in Benjamin's bag, he puts his diviner's cup.
Yeah.
Now, that is an interesting thing. You know, growing up in Sunday school, that point is sort of just left. Diviner's cup, what's with this cup and what have you?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's why we have to... get out of our Sunday schools and get into the ancient world and understand that in Egypt, the diviner's cup was something that was important, especially for somebody like, you know, Joseph, who's, again, he's the head of this melange of wizards and warlocks and right. All that sort of thing, yeah. Right?
All these quote-unquote wise men.
That's right. And so what would he do with a diviner's cup? Well, it was a means by which he could peer into the secrets of things, right? He could see the future. He can divine people's souls and hearts, you know?
Yep.
And of course, they were suspicious of him knowing all this stuff in the first place. How did he get to know all these things?
Yes. Diviner's cup.
Aha. It's his diviner's cup.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the reader knows that that's not how he knows.
Of course,
right?
Yeah.
But if you're looking at it from the perspective of the Egyptians, well, oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah. This guy's a real magician.
This guy's a real wizard.
Yep.
And these guys would have thought the same thing.
Right. You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Danny Gallagher and Father John Morgel. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Danny and Father John.
But if you're looking at it from the perspective of the Egyptians, well, oh, yeah, you know.
This guy's a real magician.
This guy's a real wizard.
Yep.
And these guys would have thought the same thing.
Right.
Oh, man, this strange and eerie potentate of Egypt that that heads the school of wizards, okay, like
yes.
Hogwarts. And
Harry Potter himself, yeah.
Right, Dumbledore, you know.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
He's looking right into our souls,
right,
you know?
Right.
Right. So
that's how he's figuring that out. And then what does he do? That cup, the most important thing to these guys, he puts it in Benjamin's bag.
That's right.
So that it'll be found.
That
later.
It'll be found, right. So they haven't gotten too far away before they hear the rumbling of chariot wheels. Okay?
Yeah, coming up behind
and
them.
I'm sure their hearts just sunk.
Yeah. As soon as they saw that the dust from all of these guys, the steward
right.
and all of those guys that were with him.
That's right. Looking very unhappy.
Yes.
And he said, someone stole my master's diviner's cup.
Yeah.
And they looked at each other and says, oh, no.
And that person is going to die. I mean, that person's going to die. And they're all thinking, none of us has it. Don't worry about it. You
know, right.
Until it shows up in Benjamin's bag.
Yeah. And then that's when things really go south, right?
Yep.
They're totally and completely, what should we say, just in shock.
Yes. In shock and emotionally about as low
right.
as you can
right,
go.
Right.
You know?
Right. And of course, that's where he wants them to be.
Sure.
So he lines them all up. You know what I mean? And he's testing them, right?
Yep.
And what happens is that Judas stands up. And we won't read it here. The listeners can read it in their scriptures and see this speech. It is a beautiful speech by Judah. And it's not one that he practiced. It was something totally from the heart.
Yeah.
However, it does have a structure to it. 14 times, he makes reference to his dad, his
mm-hmm.
father.
Yeah.
Okay, that's twice seven. Okay, the perfection. So that number is really important here for the reader,
mm-hmm.
right? Because here's Judah. Who really had no love for his father growing up.
And no reason to either.
And right. And he recognized all the faults of his father. Matter of fact, a lot of those faults carried on to him.
Yep.
But he was able to work through that, right? We've talked about that. And he was able to get beyond his own stuff.
Yeah.
His own self, right?
Yeah. Well, it took him a lot of different things, but he finally had a big realization of who he really was.
Right.
And could see himself mm-hmm. not as he wanted to be, but as he actually was
well,
as a person.
That's what God made of him,
yes.
right? There was deep down a good heart in Judah all along, but he probably didn't recognize it much, you know, growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. Remember, he left the family, said, I've had enough of this dysfunction, right? Sure. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but somehow he came back, and he never pretended to be the leader of the family, because he's fourth born, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that was Reuben's lot. Of course, we talked about him last time, right?
Yeah.
Then there was Simeon and Levi, you know, these
guys
were kind of ruffians, you know. And so he comes out as the pleader, okay, and he pleads for his dad, which shows you that he really loved the father.
Yeah.
He really loved his father all along.
Yep.
Right.
So he got beyond all of that stuff that was in his own psyche about his mm-hmm. dad, and had a real realization through this speech, I think, that he really loved his father and right. was able to express that, you know, right. very clearly.
Right.
And I think, I read a couple of things about this, and it's the longest single run of talking,
of a speech.
Monologue.
Yeah.
In Genesis.
Ah, that's a good one. I didn't know that, Danny. That's good.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty incredible.
And it's impassioned. It's so real and what have you. And at this time, Joseph can't control himself.
Right.
Because you remember what kind of a scoundrel he was when he knew him.
Yeah.
Right. And now he loves the father that he loved.
Yeah. And he sees himself that Judah right. has actually changed.
Yeah.
You know, he can
right.
see that.
And because he changed, he can have a relationship with him. He can entrust himself to Judah and to the family. And he sees that real change has happened.
Yeah.
And that there was a potentiality of reconciliation. I mean, Danny, this is so beautiful for so many of our listeners, right?
Yes.
Because so many of us are living in families where there's dysfunction like this.
Yep.
I mean, I am. I don't know who isn't. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Right? Yeah. Where there are relationships that just need to be, there just needs to be reconciliation.
Yes,
right?
Healing and God's walking into the relationship, which
right.
is exactly what's happening here.
So it should give us all hope that something like this can really happen.
Yep.
Right. And so he just goes off and this starts bawling and tells all the Egyptians to leave because he doesn't want to see him like this.
Yeah.
And he just falls on his brothers, right?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that more next week.
A story.
Hey, Joseph, your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are awestruck. Like they're dumbfounded
right.
for a long time, I think, while he's explaining.
Yes. This is the greatest story. It really is the greatest story in the Bible.
It
really
is.
Apart from the, you know, the gospel narrative of Jesus. But this is, again, deeply typological of that story.
Oh, sure. Right? You can really see that Joseph is a Christ character.
Right. And so the thing that the takeaway for this one is this. There was this St. Francis de Sales, okay? I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah,
we have all heard of him. And during the Reformation period, where he drew a lot of souls in and around Geneva away from the Calvinism that was going on there and back mm-hmm. into the Catholic fold. And he did it by his winning personality and his perseverance in love, right? Which was quite lacking at that time, because they were, you know, often tried to kill him, you
right.
know?
Yeah. I was gonna say, all those guys that wanted to were all being killed.
They were tough dudes, a tough lot, right? So, but he was a great spiritual director.
Hmm.
And this is something that I read a long time ago that really made me think. It is said that only 1 in 1,000 is a true spiritual director.
Uh-huh.
I say only 1 in 10,000.
Wow.
Whoa. Okay. That gives us pause. We need spiritual directors. All of us do, you mm-hmm. know. And, well, you know, Teresa of Avila, okay, she has spiritual directors, but they weren't really good in the sense that they really could understand her
yes.
and did more harm with her than good.
Yeah.
Okay. And then there's another spiritual director that someone walked into his office and he saw all these stacks of books on his desk. Okay. And said, what are these books about? And he says, this is what I do so I can understand Teresa of Jesus, okay, of Avila, right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay. To be a real spiritual director is something very rare. Back then, I'm sure it's far more rare now. I mean, Danny, in a real way, I don't feel like myself. I'm by nature a very good spiritual director. Uh-huh. I mean, it's something that's very, very special. And yet, on the other hand, I did have people who've given me good guidance basically through my life. I look at them as mentors.
Yes.
But to have a real spiritual director.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah, it is. I had a great one, a Sulpician priest, Lowell Glendon. He died of cancer.
Right.
And I went to him for maybe 3 years as spiritual director when I was a lot younger.
Right. It's probably a good time in your life where you were receptive to something like that, right?
Yes, it was like the perfect time.
Yeah.
I do feel like after hearing all of this,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like it would be a good idea to get one. You know, to have a guide.
It's always a good idea to be mentored, but also mm-hmm. to be mentoring somebody as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see, if it wasn't for his wisdom, none of this would have happened.
Yes,
you know?
Right.
And he had to discern, hey, you know, how are these brothers of mine, how can I create an space for them?
Yeah.
To really come to the Lord on their own.
Yes.
You know, and without coercion.
That's right.
And with that, the wisdom.
There was no shouting in their faces. You need to come to know the Lord.
Yeah.
It was all so subtly done.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he knew the words. He knew what words can do and what words can't do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he knew how to direct. That's what he's doing, basically.
Yes.
He's directing him. Of course, he's doing it through a way that, you know, it's very unconventional.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. With a silver divining cup.
There you go.
None of us have, I don't have one of those. I don't think I ever will, right? You know, or with the money and how he did things like that. But but the thing is, he went through it himself. And because he went through it himself, he was able to be of help to others.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes a great spiritual director is the time spent coming to know yourself
mm-hmm.
so that you can be a great listener.
That's good.
And feed that back, you know, to people.
You have to be a good listener, right?
They have a couple of great programs at Bon Secours to become a spiritual director. And I only know about that because of Doris' work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's important. That's mm-hmm. that's really important. So... Well, anyways,
okay.
I think that's all we have for today. And so we're getting close now, Danny, to the end of the story.
I know.
And then we go on from here. We have an endless agenda here. scripture, you know, we were just talking before this, you know, we'll be in our 90s when who knows where we'll be in this whole thing.
Right. Well, on that note, I'll see you next time.
God bless. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple and Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.